Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
Don't you have a ska version of Need to Know? Come on, Adam. It's the fourth quarter of the program on a Friday. It may exist. Why don't you find a ska version of that song?
Well, I'll see what I can
something.
Do. If somebody running around playing some trumpets and trombones and saxophones, we
just
can make that
up.
Happen.
Yeah, mix it up. Need to Know brought to you by Jungle Law. If experiencing a rumble in the legal jungle, call the lawman at Jungle Law. If you've got a criminal charge pending, call him right away. Firm also does employment-related issues against corporations. Call Jungle Law for a free consultation. All right, what we need to know, intern Ethan. I keep calling you Ethan. It's Cougar, whatever you want to call yourself. He just read a story in there, and it popped up into my mind. Ed Stewart.
Yeah.
Is leaving the Big 12. He's been there for 16 years to move on to USC. Why do we remember Ed Stewart?
I don't know. The name does ring a bell, but I don't
He was a linebacker at Nebraska, very good player back in the day, but why I remember Ed Stewart is Ed Stewart worked at the University of Missouri before he worked at the Big 12. And his wife and the wife of the president of the university system every one of the Ricky Clemens phone calls.
Yes.
They were on there. We're with, I think her name was, might be Stephanie. I don't know, Ed Stewart's wife.
That's it.
And Carmenta Floyd, Elson Floyd's wife. That's who the Ricky Clemens phone calls would all be to. You've got to collect call from Ricky. And it would be, you seen head of state? I mean, that was Ed Stewart's wife. And I was like, Ed Stewart's wife is on the phone with a guy and the Ed Stewart's wife and the president of the university's wife talking about getting Mike Alden fired. And then Ed Stewart worked at the Big 12 for 16 years, and then he now is at USC. It always just, every time I hear Ed Stewart's name, I'm like, I can't believe that he got through that whole thing, you know, without being saved. Amy Stewart. That's correct. Yeah, Nate just texted me. He thought it was Christina, because Nate Bucati, that's one of the great stories in the history of our radio station. He drove down there. We said, you got to get to Boone County and get those CDs. And I still have all the CDs in my office. And we listened through those things, and it was great.
Yes, yeah. Two of the people with whom he spoke the most while in jail appear to have been his key to his decision to stay in Columbia. They are Carmenta Floyd, wife of MU Assistant President Elson Floyd, and Amy Stewart, wife of Ed Stewart, school's Associate Director of Athletics for Administration.
Correct. And she's a lawyer now, I think, Amy Stewart is. But then they went down to Dallas, and he worked there, and now he's going to USC.
Didn't Missouri play a role? I know this is a different school, but didn't they play a role in Eustace's downfall as well?
I think there were some pictures. He was
there. He was in
all of
Columbia.
His downfall was himself.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but... I should have phrased that.
Always trying to crap on Missouri. I gotcha.
Missouri had their name came up. I should say they had nothing to do with it. It was him acting, but it happened to be in Columbia. If I'm not mistaken,
he had some issues in a lot of college towns. Wouldn't fly, drive back. Anyway,
man liked
that's
to
enough.
Party. What can
that's
what can
enough
say?
Of Ed Stewart talk. But I still. I got when Jake Gutierrez, they were in his little office, and when he left, I walked in one morning and I got all 40 CDs just sitting there. And they say his name wasn't Ricky, it was like Unique or something. It was spelled like EN, his real name, because that's what it said on the top of them. They're all in my office. If anyone has a CD player in their car, anyone still have one? You want to listen to some of them driving home? Just listen to them. It's great. All it is like you've got to collect call from the Boone County Corrective from Ricky. And they take the call or whatever, and then they just talk about whatever. It was just wild. Ed Stewart, there you have it.
2003.
A couple of little soccer notes for you. Sporting is at home this weekend against L.A. And then I just got this one in from The Current. Sam Mewis, who is a World Cup winner in 19, she's on the season-ending injury list. She's had a progressive injury in her right leg, so rough deal there, because the Current's on a nice run of getting points, whether via tie or draw. So that's a tough one there for
you
them.
Say we either tie or draw.
Is this what you're going to sit in here and do now, nitpick me? Shut his mic off. Win or draw. I don't need this from you.
Wow.
You need to go listen to some CDs of Ricky Clemens.
He said he credits you for giving him an idea for a topic on the kicker, and you just throw poo right at him.
It's
man.
Terrible.
One's feeling comfortable.
Terrible. All right, what else we need to know here? NFL, we've seen, this was really sad. Demaryius Thomas passed away a few months back, and now the autopsy says it's the complications of a seizure disorder. That's a sad deal, man.
Remember when that happened, making the point that, you know, he was maybe the most consistent receiver in the NFL over like a 5-year period. He was a great player.
It made Tim Tebow look like a quarterback.
Yes. And the day after he died, all anybody talked about was what a great guy he was, mm-hmm. what a great person he was. And, of course, you'd want him to be around for a long time. And you know, any player who dies that young, it's tragic, but it's even more so when it's someone who universally everyone thought was really an incredible person.
Absolutely. So Joe Burrow had his appendectomy, and he still hasn't practiced. I don't think this is a real concern, but no. He's out indefinitely. But it's you don't need your appendix, but you need to get it out before the season starts. No reason for my guys to rush out.
What was the whole? Wasn't that he didn't necessarily need it at that moment, but they thought he might need it in the future. So it's just let's take care of it now. Did I remember that story correctly?
I don't remember that part of it, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
Avoid it in the future. We've had some appendix things happen here with football teams. Was it?
There's Matt Castle.
Matt Castle.
And then he came back and led the team to victory in St. Louis.
Why wouldn't you? That's back when St. Louis had National Football League.
Yep.
It's been a while. So I don't know if you've heard about this. You know, the Browns quarterback situation is a little bit in flux right now.
What's going on there?
Well, Deshaun Watson, who didn't play last year for Houston, got in trouble with maybe upwards of 60 unwanted encounters with women. And now he's been suspended for at least 6 games by the league. And the league's trying to appeal that and see if it can be even more. So right now, they don't have a quarterback. So what Kevin Stefanski's going to do is they're just going to wait and see. But in the meantime, Jacoby Brissett, who was the wait and see
for the Colts,
for mm-hmm. Tom Brady as well. He played when Tom Brady was deflategating and all that stuff.
Was he the Colts guy who came in here and won at Arrowhead?
But he was actually playing quarterback there. He wasn't. That was just thrown into it because Andrew Luck left.
I thought he was the Peyton Manning
right?
wait and see guy too.
No, he came in here and won, beat Patrick Mahomes
when
in a night game.
What's his name? Stepped on Mahomes.
I think there might have been a shady fumble in that game. That happened some in that one too.
Oh yeah.
Jacoby Brissett's that guy. Break glass in case of emergency. So he's going to be hanging there, ready to play football.
He's as Seren would say, that's a man who will have many jerseys in his basement when his career comes to an end.
You just keep getting those checks and keep going, and maybe you'll go get to play.
Going
to
go Paul. No, I forgot his last name. The Iowa State basketball player.
Paul Shirley.
His book was just how many jerseys he had.
I got them all,
on
baby.
The wall.
Get after him. The Dodgers have put Clayton Kershaw on the injured list after he started last night. A little low back pain. It hasn't, you know, we were talking about Justin Verlander earlier. He had that out all year, but he seems healthy now.
Sort of.
Very healthy. And Kershaw has just kind of fallen off there. And he hasn't gotten, if you're hurt with your back, is there going to be some $40 million thing laying around for him? I mean, he was good as there was for a while, but he seems to have broken down a little bit more than Scherzer has. Or Verlander with the things like the back and stuff like that. Because they just fixed Verlander.
Yep.
You know, you just, here you go, here's your surgery, you're fixed.
Dodgers have kind of moved. You know, everyone talked about how the Yankees were chasing the 98 Yankees. Well, they've fallen way off that pace. They don't even have the best record in baseball right now. The Dodgers have been the ones that have been streaking. But if Clayton Kershaw goes on the shelf for a little while, that's gonna fall back. That plus the Padres making all those moves, they were down 11.5 games. Mm-hmm. When they made the
Padres
trades,
got to rejuvenate. That's a big hole to dig out
of.
Though
they're going
to
get Tatis. Yeah, but then for that to have any chance, if Kershaw's hurt, and you go, okay, there's one more little mark. It's 11 games in less than 2 months is almost impossible.
Clayton Kershaw is on the list of guys that I always say I'm not necessarily a baseball fan. I'm a Royals fan. I'll watch the Royals. Then I'll wait till the playoffs to watch that. But Kershaw is there's a group of pitchers right now that you think if baseball were as popular now as it was in its heyday, these guys would be almost Michael Jordan-esque stars because
yeah, he was awesome.
They have had there's been a run of pitchers lately that have just been whoa.
Are any of them going to win 300 games?
Been at the forefront of that.
No, they're not going to. And I know Justin Verlander's resurgence has at least put some wind in Soren's sails to actually win the bet that I can never win myself. thankfully, it wasn't for a huge amount of scratch.
You better hope you're wrong about the afterlife, man, because he can get some money then.
He's still a ways back. No, that'd be the only chance I'd have to win, not him.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you better hope you're wrong, because then you'd have a chance to grab some cash on the other side. I don't know what $20 will buy you over there, but
get something.
It's not nothing.
Royals tonight, they're facing the Red Sox at home. Interesting lineup, moving some guys around a little bit. Melendez back in the starting lineup, but Michael Massey's going to bat second tonight.
Yep.
He's up a little bit there. Sal, third. Pasquantino, fourth. Dozier, Prato in the lineup tonight. Eaton is in the lineup. Isbell and Lopez. So you don't have any Michael Taylor out there. This is, I guess, if you want to find out what your team's about, this is a lot of the guys you want to see play. There's no Bobby Witt in there tonight, but
yeah, that's kind of by design. Guys.
Yeah,
nothing new has cropped up. They've said they're going to not play him every single night for a little while. I think Royals fans will like this. I think that's what they've wanted to see most of the year. Once it got to the point where it was clear they weren't going to contend,
even though
which
they lost,
happened quite quickly.
They lost 3 out of 4 in Toronto. Mm-hmm. There were so many people who were like, you know what? I'll watch these guys play baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I'll check them out. They want to be there. Let them play. We'll see if they can make it. Another baseball note here. You know, Buck O'Neill got put in the Hall of Fame. His plaque, they're going to travel it around. So next Friday, a week from today, it is going to be at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And next Saturday, it'll be at Kauffman Stadium. Very cool. You'll get to see the plaque.
Very
the
nice.
Plaques are neat. You know, you can always go Google them and look at the picture. But it's something about seeing those plaques.
Yep.
Even if you're not at the Hall of Fame looking at the plaque. It's still a pretty neat thing to see, you know, immortalized there on those plaques. It's pretty cool. So that's going to be at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum on Friday and at the K next Saturday. Pretty cool. For Buck O'Neill's plaque to be traveling around.
I dig it. I mean, we've said before, almost everyone agrees, it's a shame it didn't happen while he was still around, but it happened. And so we'll all get to check that out.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Chiefs, no practice today.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any real notes there, but we're going to talk to Adam Teicher about everything that's gone on. I do think they've just had a really nice start to camp. It's been good. There hasn't really been any bad news about it, and it's been good news, and people are working together and being happy, and that's what you want to have happen. I look up here at NFL Network. I mean, you got the Dolphins are sitting there apologizing for tampering and trying to work their way
49ers
through.
49ers have had fights this week.
Fights?
Twice they had to break up their practice on Tuesday because of guys throwing punches, and Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan kind of talked about that today.
A couple of devastating injuries with the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos losing two players for the year with ACL injuries. It's not – just because it's the first week of full team practice doesn't mean there's not the potential for terrible news. In fact, that's kind of where, as Timmy noted on Tuesday, that's kind of where a lot of those bad injuries are, that first week when your body's not quite used to stretching here and there. And so you have those. So the Chiefs have gotten through – the first week, not only with some glowing reviews for some people, but just as importantly, no bad news. There really has been nothing bad that's happened for the Chiefs.
So far, so good. And we keep saying that, and I don't think we're going to jinx anything. But
there are no jinxes.
They don't exist. But we're going to keep saying it because it's been good. It's been just good. I've been super happy with everything that's gone on.
And they're a team that didn't – I mean, when you're a team that's in a position of power – and you're just hoping kind of for the status quo mostly,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty good first week to have. You don't want a lot of news.
Nah, you don't need drama. You know, it was all good news. I mean, Orlando Brown was their drama, and we've said that they don't like drama, and then the drama got put away. The drama's gone. There's no more pummeling anyone about
just
when Orlando's going to be there.
Just football from here on out.
Absolutely. Another note, we had the Hall of Fame game on last night, and we really haven't talked about this much. We probably should talk about this. Dick Vermeil's getting enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He was one of the greatest coaches there was. You know, he took Philly to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it.
Led them to their first winning season in 12 years in 1978.
It really turned it around. And then he was the first case of real burnout that we saw. And he was, it was too much for him. He couldn't do it anymore. He was,
walked into a team meeting and started crying.
He's a damn great broadcaster, by the way. I'll watch some old football game on YouTube because I'm that way. And I always love it when Vermeil's calling the games. He was fun.
Yep.
He was good, and he got back in the game. And I was there when they won the Super Bowl. It was
in Atlanta.
It was, you know, the greatest show on turf and
pretty
all that
cool
stuff. And I honestly think that I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff that happened there. He deserved to go out a different way there. You know, they were enamored with Mike Martz. Where's Mike Martz now? He ain't going to the Hall of Fame.
No.
I don't know. And then, you know, Coach Vermeil came here, and it was one of those situations a little bit like when Coach Reed got here. It just righted the ship, made it seem a little more professional.
Yep.
God rest the soul of Gunther Cunningham, okay? But the Chiefs were a bit of a mess in 98, 99, 2000, when Gunther started taking over for Marty, at the end of Marty, and then those 2 years, and Grunty will tell you stories about what a mess it was.
And they were a 500 team, and that kind of gets kind of lost in the shuffle that they weren't a terrible team when Gunther was here.
But he was
only here 2 years. That 500 record was not going to last.
No.
It was about to fall off the cliff.
Falling off the cliff, and Dick Vermeil, they paid a lot to get him, yep, you know, draft pick-wise and all that stuff, but he brought legitimacy to the team, and it was good to see, and they only made one playoff, but it was fun to watch. He was fun to cover. Always enjoyed it, so congratulations to Coach Vermeil on making the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Well-deserved, great guy, wonderful to talk to, and always a good quote for us. Might scream at you, might cry.
I'd love how someone would question his methods, and he'd just tap that Super Bowl ring on the podium. Well, you know, I think maybe we're going to go a different direction. Bang, 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 ring, ring, ring.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So congratulations to Dick Vermeil on making the Hall of Fame. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back and talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Taking it home here for us on the 5 o'clock hour on the program on a Friday afternoon is our good friend Adam Teicher from ESPN, who is not currently in St. Joseph because it's an off day for the Chiefs. Slept in his own bed. Got to be refreshed and ready to go. Adam, how you doing today?
Good, Todd. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, man. It's been a fun week. I think this has been a very good week for the Chiefs up in St. Joseph. You know, they got Orlando Brown in. They got Carlos Dunlap on the field. Things have been going really well for the Chiefs. This was as far as training camp times go, this is a pretty good week for an NFL team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the Chiefs are better now than they were a week ago. You know, with Orlando Brown showing up, and he looks like he's in pretty good shape and ready to go. And the Carlos Dunlap signing, you know, you could argue that that was the biggest personnel weakness. You know, that defensive end position, and now that looks like it's solidified. I mean, the Frank Clark stuff, I think, was a positive for the Chiefs. So I do think it has been a pretty good week, no doubt.
Let's talk about Dunlap first. I was so refreshing to hear him talk. I've got 96 sacks. I do that. I mean, we say these guys don't care. They know. He knows what's up with him. He knows what he averages and what he does. I think he's an absolute veteran who knows how to go about his business. I think he can help this team. What do you think of what you heard from him? I know we haven't seen much yet because they're going to acclimate him, but is this someone who can still help this team?
Yeah, I think so. I found a lot of what he had to say interesting. You know, it's kind of refreshing that he knew where he was in sacks and talked about, hey, I don't want to just get to 100 this season, meaning he needs only four. He goes, I want... You know, I kind of average about 80 a year, and I want even more than that. So, you know, he wasn't talking about, a lot of guys will just say, I just want to do, just want to help the team, just want to help the team. Well, that's great, but Carlos Dunlap will help the Chiefs if he gets 10 sacks or whatever this year. So, I don't know, it's kind of refreshing to hear him talk. And, you know, the Chiefs are obviously counting on him in a big for a big role this year, you know. So he needs to play well, I think, for them. So all of a sudden, he's kind of a key guy, I think, in how this is going to go, because they can't have a pass rush like they had last year. You know, that's not going to be good enough to get them to where they want to go. So he's kind of looming to me as a key guy.
There are personal goals and there are team goals, and then there's kind of the intersection, and there was an intersection with Dunlap when he talked about the fact that 12 years in the league, he's going into his 13th year, he's not won a playoff game. So, I mean, that kind of intersects, and he found that the Chiefs were the best organization, he thinks, to get there, maybe win a Super Bowl. That certainly goes a long way in getting someone like Carlos Dunlap, because he had other opportunities. But when you have a team that's won a lot, a consistent coaching staff, and the best quarterback in the NFL, that's going to bring guys like Carlos Dunlap in where other teams maybe would fall behind in that regard. That's a big factor, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it's the Pat Mahomes effect. You know, the Chiefs still have to show up with their checkbook, but assuming they do, guys like playing for them, no doubt about it.
We're talking to Adam Teich from ESPN. Chiefs off today. They'll be back on the field tomorrow. Adam, one of the things about Dunlap as well is this is a guy who can get to the quarterback and get him on the ground. You mentioned the Chiefs pass rush last year. There were people saying the ancillary things were good about it, right? They would get pressures and all this stuff. He has produced, and I know they kept telling me last year that Melvin Ingram was setting the edge and it was all good. But it sounded a little bit like lip service because they just weren't getting the results they need. Am I being too harsh on what Melvin Ingram meant to this team?
No, I think he was a valuable guy. And I think, you know, if you're telling me that Carlos Dunlap can have the same kind of impact than Melvin Ingram did, I think then that's probably a positive for the Chiefs. And here's why. I mean, Ingram's numbers in and of themselves, his individual numbers weren't that good. You know, he only had one sack in what, 8 or 9 regular season games, and then he had I think 1 or 2 in the playoffs. But still, those numbers weren't great. But you can draw a line for the Chiefs defensively. You remember how bad they were before he got there,
right?
And then he showed up, and all of a sudden they were competent. All of a sudden, you know, I don't think that was coincidence. I think he had a lot to do with that. So I would expect that Carlos Dunlap's numbers to be better than Melvin Ingram's individual numbers, but as far as his impact, I think you'd take Ingram's impact from Dunlap if you had a choice, if you were the Chiefs.
Yeah, with just a couple more sacks added onto it. I know the sacks aren't the exact number that a lot of people look at, but I like it. Okay, I want to see guys who get sacks, and these guys count them. They get paid for them. There's no doubt about that.
But if he gets 8 sacks is one thing. But if he gets 6, or let me try that again, getting 10 sacks would be great. But if he gets only 8 sacks, but his involvement allows someone else to get 2 or 3 more sacks, that's the same kind of production, but kind of spread out in a different way. He didn't have to have a big number to improve. The goal is for the sack number as a team to go up.
To get better.
And if he has an impact on that, it's just as well.
Well, the sack numbers weren't good last year for the team. That was the real issue.
That's why he's one of the reasons he's here.
And that leads us, Adam, to the next guy is Frank Clark. He was very open. We played a lot of the comments this week about his situation, trying to be healthier, eating better, giving up liquor, as he called it, and you know, being a more productive player. I'm almost ready to say this is like a free agent signing, because is this a real page turner for Frank Clark to be something entirely different than he's been? Because his production was not there. He admitted last year, but he wasn't very good. He said he was fat. He wasn't any good. Can you almost look like, hey, this is a new player that they got for a pretty cheap free agent signing at that point?
Well, let's see what happens here. I'm not ready to declare that yet, although the signs are kind of positive. But, you know, I loved everything he had to say. I loved his self-awareness, you know, to say, you know, basically agreeing with Andy Reid when Andy Reid said he wasn't good enough last year. I mean, I really liked all that. And so that's a good start. But we'll see. I mean, I've heard guys talk like this before, and how they change their diet and this and that, and they're the same player once the season starts. So let's see. But I'll say this for Frank Clark. He does look like a different guy. He looks like the his get off is back to what the Chiefs wanted it to be, or the guy they thought they were getting when they traded for him. So he does look good. Just when you see him afterwards, when he's not in pads anymore, he looks good. He looks like a football player more, maybe more so than before. So, you know, we'll see if it adds up to anything, but I think the signs there are pretty encouraging. And yeah, I mean, the Chiefs were 29th in the league in sacks last year, one way or the other, whether it's Dunlap, Clark, Karlaftis, Chris Jones, are probably going to have to be a combination to all of the above. They have to do better than that, because I think this year it's going to be really tough getting as far as the AFC Championship game with by being 29th in the league in sacks.
Yeah, you have to affect the quarterback, and they especially need that because they have some young players in the secondary. It's going to be an all-new secondary, really, and Steve Spagnuolo doesn't like to play young players, but he ain't got no choice this year. You're going to play some young players out there, so they need to really rely on that pass rush. You mentioned Karlaftis. Nothing but rave reviews everywhere from the second they had rookie minicamp when they said, guys, you got to slow down a little bit here. I know you're excited to be in the league, but you got to ratchet down a little bit. We've heard Frank Clark mention trying to help Karlaftis. We've heard Karlaftis talk about it, and, you know, they're sharing some little secrets of the trade. And Carlos Dunlap, who didn't even really practice the other day, was helping him. I sense, I guess it's synergy or something with these guys, even though they've barely just met, that they're working on these things and trying to get better, and they're all kind of pulling the rope the same direction, that common goal, which I don't think you get everywhere. We've watched, Adam, we've stood up there at practice before with teams that weren't together, and you can sense it. I got the feeling in the time that I was up there early, and you've been up there a lot more than me this year, that this team really is one of those kind of together teams. Whether you're 34 or you're 22, you're kind of all in this together at this point. Now, it's just training camp, but it seems like they're pointing in the right direction as a group for reasons like that.
Yeah, and, you know, Andy Reid's teams tend to maybe be that way. His training camps are just amazing for the work that the Chiefs get done. Just really good work, and you tend to see a team that's quite a bit better at the end of training camp than when it starts. But with regard to defense, I mean, there's still a lot of new parts here, and I can't tell you that everything's going to be ready to go and things are going to all fit together and they're going to play well. Starting from the start of the regular season, it might be a little bit of a lag time for this group. We're just going to have to see. But, Steve Spagnuolo has talked about having to race the clock, that the Chiefs are really sprinting towards September 11 to try to get everything ready. And they may win that race and they may not. So we're just going to have to find out. But I think there are some encouraging signs there.
Let's move back one level on the defense and talk about the linebackers and how important big seasons from Nick Bolton and Willie Gay are going to be to the defense having a big year. Third season in the scheme for Gay, second for Bolton. They're going to kind of be relied upon for a lot of snaps this year and kind of a leadership role, probably more from Bolton than from Gay. How do you think those two are rolling into those roles?
Yeah, Willie Gay, he's made a lot of plays in the passing game. He's intercepted a number of passes. I mean, he's all over the field in the passing game. So I think Willie Gay is having a pretty nice camp here. And if that means anything, he's going to have a nice season. And Nick Bolton is a good player as well. I mean, I think what the player that the Chiefs had the last half or so of last season is kind of the guy they're going to get this year. So I think that part of the thing is looking up. But when they play three, you know, they've been using Elijah Lee sometimes. They've been using Leo Chenal sometimes. And you wonder a little bit about that spot and how that's going to go for the Chiefs. Chenal looks like he's going to be a factor when the opponent runs the ball, but can be a liability in the passing game. So the Chiefs might have to mix and match and do some things to help him out a little bit in that regard. But I feel like those positions you used to look at on the Chiefs and go, wow, this is going to be a struggle for them. But I don't know, certainly with Gay and with Bolton, I don't know if that's going to be the case this year.
younger and faster. I mean, that's what they certainly are there. And if you get in the right place, that's the key. And Willie Gay's been very honest. I didn't know what I was doing, man. He said he dang near gave up year one just trying to study because it was too much. Yeah. But now he's on it, so that's good. And they have never had an issue with Nick Bolton knowing where to go. He's going to be the signal caller probably for the team this year, so I like where they are there at linebacker.
I've never heard a guy just predict, I want to lead the league in interceptions from a linebacker. That was a pretty
– Yeah.
Pretty nice claim.
Well, and he had the stats on the ones he dropped, you know? It's like, I know what I dropped. So those things stick with those guys, and they're working hard to get better. I want to talk a little bit about the defensive backs because everyone – I like that we haven't heard too much about Trent McDuffie. It means he's doing a pretty good job. He's not super wowing people maybe all the time, but he's not getting beat. He's going to be a starter for this team. We've had a lot of talk about Joshua Williams, the pick out of Fayetteville State. But – like Rashad Fenton's on the pup. Is he going to pup himself out of being the starter? I know they told us last week that if he's healthy, he is the starter. But eventually, you got to get out there and play, right?
Well, he'll be their third corner, I think, when he comes back. Because Snead and Legarius Snead and Trent McDuffie are going to be starters.
That'll be so, one and two, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll you know, but Fenton would take that third role. But the longer he stays out, the longer, you know, the tougher time he's going to have getting that job back. Assuming you know, Josh Williams plays well, or Jalen Watson, or whoever the Chiefs stick into that role. So, you know, they've used both those guys. They've looked at both those guys, and I think and Josh Williams has held up fairly nicely so far. You know, you look at a guy from Fayetteville State, a Division II school, and, you know, what a huge jump for him in competition. But he doesn't look like it's too big for him. You know, he doesn't look like he's lost out there. He looks like he knows what he's doing. So I think, you know, now the next step is for him to, you know, pile these good practices on top of one another and, you know, play well in the preseason. You know, that's one of the guys I'm kind of interested to see when the Chiefs play the Bears next weekend is how Josh Williams looks and whether he stands up to all this.
I don't know many people would say that Tyrann Mathieu was as good a player last year as he was in his first year with the Chiefs, but he still was kind of that leadership, solidifying, lining guys up type role, kind of the quarterback of the defense from that safety spot. He's gone, and now Juan Thornhill kind of has to step into that role from that position. How well do you think he can do, and how does he look so far?
Well, I think it's that role is maybe more Justin Reed at this point. You know, I think that's
true.
When you know, the Chiefs brought Reed in thinking he can do a lot of those type of things that Mathieu did for the Chiefs. That's part of his role. So, you know, I think Reed is going to assume all those responsibilities and, you know, everything looks good so far, but, you know, all it takes is one breakdown during a game and it doesn't look so good anymore. So, you know, I think that's, I would call that a work in progress, but Juan Thornhill looks as good as I remember him since he was a rookie, you know, before that knee injury. I don't think that's just hype, him talking. Well, I'm not going to predict an all-pro year out of him. I mean, but I don't think it's...
Adam,
it's
you don't him. Have to. He already did. So
yeah,
it's fine.
But I'm not going to agree with him there. But I will say that I do think, you know, that's just not idle talk. I mean, I think he's you know, having an impact out there, and he looks as good as he has since he was a rookie. So that's been a while now, so... you know, that's another guy who I think can have a big year for the Chiefs.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. He covers the Chiefs each and every day, except for today. Didn't have to go to practice. He's so happy. He'll be back up there bright and early tomorrow morning. Adam, let's talk a little bit about the offense. I think the quarterback is solidified, so we're not going to worry about that. And I think we've talked enough Orlando Brown. He's there. They like what they have on that side of the line and in the middle. But I want to talk about the numbers game, which we're not there yet. They're not cutting guys yet, but... I mean, if some guys kind of pop up at running back and wide receiver, especially when you fold into it what Dave Tobe needs out of people on special teams, are there going to end up being some cuts at running back and wide receiver that maybe surprise some fans who have just been looking, well, this guy's on the team or that guy's on the team?
Well, I think the Chiefs have not had depth, this kind of depth at running back, probably at least since Andy Reid's been here. And probably longer than that. I mean, there's a long list of guys who look like they can play. You know, and I'm going to include the rookie, Isaiah Pacheco, the seventh-round pick. in that. I didn't have him making the team when camp started. Now I think he's probably close to a lock as can be at this point for a seventh-round draft choice, because he's got a little something to him. And I don't know how that's going to manifest itself this year, if he's going to get to play a lot. I don't know that right now, but I think I'm fairly clear he's going to make the team. Edwards-Helaire is going to make the team. Ronald Jones, he's a tough runner, probably the Chiefs' best inside runner. I think that's going to be a valued commodity on this team. So I do think Ronald Jones is going to make it. Do you want to keep more than that? I think Jerick McKinnon's going to make it also. So I do think the Chiefs are going to keep four at running back.
Puts Derek Gore in trouble, right?
Yeah, that's the guy that I think right now will probably be on the outside looking in. But I don't know that it's too late for him to do something about that. You know, I think the Chiefs, he did some good things for the Chiefs last year. So, you know, he still could sneak his way onto the lineup. I think they're going to keep four at tight end, too. I think the skill positions of depth this year for the Chiefs are running back and tight end. It's not wide receiver anymore. I think the Chiefs might only keep five at wide receiver. They can't keep four tight ends, four running backs, and six wide receivers. That's too much. So something's going to have to give there. And right now, I think it's going to be at wide receiver.
And that's the position that it leads into, because you got to figure Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm guessing Marquez Valdes-Scantling, good Sky Moore is going to be good. Justin Watson was a signing that no one really paid attention to, but Patrick Mahomes has been talking about him for like 2 months. And then Dave Tobe brought him up by name, right, on special teams and all that. So then you start looking around, it's like, who's not going to make this team? Is Josh Gordon going to be gone? I mean, he hasn't really been a contributor, but they year two in the thing. I don't know. Is there been surprises there at wide receiver that if you think they're going to go with that number of tight ends and running backs, that's where they're – I mean, Josh Gordon's not going to play special teams, right? So if he's not playing wide receiver, he's not playing for this team.
Yeah, I don't see Josh Gordon making it. I've not seen anything at camp so far that would lead you to say, yeah, he's the somewhat close to the same player he was during his prime. There's not been nothing there. So I really can't see Josh Gordon making the team at this point unless something happens there. So, you know, you got your top four that you mentioned. I think that's pretty solid. I don't see anybody cracking that. I don't see that changing unless there's an injury. So you got those four guys, and then special teams will probably decide the extra one. This is going to be Justin Watson. I'd say he's probably the leader right now. Darius Fountain, who was with the Chiefs toward the end of last season, he could sneak in there as well. It's possible the Chiefs keep both those guys, but I don't see the I think they're going to be cutting a better player at a different position if they end up doing that. So I think five is probably, unless something changes with an injury, either at wide receiver or one of the other spots, I think five is probably going to be where the Chiefs go with wide receiver.
How much of a kiss as far as roster is getting the name check by Dave Tobe in a presser? That's a good sign. That's not exactly a golden ticket, but that's a pretty good indication that you got a great shot, right?
Yeah, when Dave Tobe is talking you up, you're going to make the team, or you've got a really good shot at making the team. So, yeah, I mean, Justin Watson, for instance, needs to play well on special teams during the preseason, because that's when that's the real test for those guys. They can't really work on special teams the way they'd like to during practice. So they get a real good look at those guys during games. So, as long as Watson shows well, I think he's in pretty good shape.
All right, one more thing I want to ask you about at wide receiver before we let you go, Adam. Is Sky Moore, right? So I can't remember when it was. 2 weeks ago, I'm up there, and someone was at the podium, and it was a player, says, this guy kind of looks like a running back body, right? And we've always heard about the thick thighs and all this. And you know, we start thinking, oh, is this like they're going to Debo Samuel this guy or whatever? And then, lo and behold, is this just show stuff? He was like lined up at running back for a play or two yesterday. Are they just showing these things in front of the fans playing games? Or are they going to get some unusual packages in for this guy because of his body type and what he might be able to do?
Yeah, they look at a lot of different things this time of year just to see what They may like something. They may not like something. Put it in the playbook. Take it out. Whatever it might be. So they're looking at a lot of different things this time of year. So just because you see a play or two, I wouldn't necessarily assume they're going to be doing that. But he is a different kind of guy. He is shorter and stockier, and he does look more like a running back. And the Chiefs are trying to do some different things with him. You know, they're throwing him on screens and stuff like that. So I think he can have an impact for the Chiefs in kind of some different ways. They're trying to figure out exactly what those ways are right now. And you may see him lined up in the backfield now and then. That wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs did that for real when things start counting for real.
Well, the one spot we haven't talked about is quarterback. That seems pretty set, you think?
I think this Mahomes guy is going to be their starter, if that's what you're asking. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, yes.
You read it here first.
It is.
Is Henny the two for sure, though? I mean, eventually they're not going to have a 36-year-old backup, right?
I think they will. Henny is number two. He's getting almost all the snaps that Mahomes doesn't. I mean, they give the other guys a snap or two at the end of most drills, but Henny's kind of been the guy. So the Chiefs are, put it this way, those young guys, if they were going to keep one of them as their backup, their number two, they're wasting. They need those snaps right now, and they're not getting them. The Chiefs are wasting snaps if they plan to cut Chad Henne. So at this point, that would really surprise me. So it looks like you guys have one more year at least of Chad Henne.
You got to have all the Chad Hennies in the world. All right,
anything is possible.
Anything. Adam Teicher, time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. I'm not going to ask for this year's Camp Darling, but can you give me your favorite Camp Darling ever, like a name that will make us laugh from the past? Everyone was excited about?
Yeah, it has to be Jesse Haynes, right? The running back, or Marty Schottenheimer's famous words. I'm going to give you two words, Jesse Haynes. And he had that horrible preseason game against the Packers where he fumbled like two or three times, and we never really heard from him again. So that's kind of the guy who if you're looking for the quintessential camp guy, that was probably Jesse Haynes.
Going to give you two words, waiver wire.
Waiver wire. All right, second, how much of the Hall of Fame game did you watch last night?
I watched a little bit. I watched a little bit. I mean, it's football. I mean, it's not regular season football. It's not starters football, but it's still football, played by professionals, and I enjoyed it. I mean, maybe not the greatest game you're ever going to see, but I enjoyed it. So I did watch some of it, yeah.
All right, we got the total for Michigan State this year at 7.5. Are you over or are you under on that with your hard-earned money?
I would take over 8.5 if you were setting the line there.
Ah, he's bullish on those Spartans. Woo. I like to hear that. And I know you're home now, but when you go back to St. Joseph, what's your favorite place to get a little meal or a cold beer?
Oh, Il Lazzarone makes pizza that's out of this world. So if you've never been to Il Lazzarone up in St. Joe, and they have one in the city, in the River River Market, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, downtown in Kansas City. So that's my go-to place in St. Joe for sure.
Well, I suggest the crepa. And get yourself a little extra of the balsamic glaze you can dip the crust in.
See, a little extra.
Cheat
See,
code.
Hints from Curtis. No doubt about it.
It's a wonderful thing.
Mm. Well, you're our go-to guy when it comes to covering the Chiefs, Adam. Thanks for your time. Enjoy your day off, and we will see you up at camp soon.
All right, good stuff, guys. Talk to you next time.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Justin Verlander threw 20 starts. 1.73 ERA since 1913, how many pitchers have had a lower ERA, 39 or older, a lower ERA through their first 20 starts?
Since 1913, there could be some old Walter Johnson or something back there, but I would think this is a very small number. Maybe just nobody except Verlander.
How many other than since not counting him? Two.
Two.
Roger Clemens in 2005, 1.40.
Okay.
And Eddie Plank in 1915.
Okay, I figured it was an old style guy back in the day. Not bad, not bad. Pretty good. All right, so what do we got for the kicker here? You got some fun baseball for us?
A friend sent me this, a site called Ephus Tosser, a Twitter account, has taken all 30 major league teams. They've taken their depth chart, their starters at all defensive positions, their DH, and their number one pitcher. And they've found out what the original team was for each of these players, the team that drafted them or signed them as an original free agent. And to see how many of them are still with that team.
Homegrown or whatever, right?
The Royals are the only team that has more than six of those 10 spots filled by players that are original Royals, original players. They have nine. Nine of the 10. The only one who's not, the Washington Nationals product, Michael A. Taylor in center field. There are three teams that have one, including the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is the only guy in that group who's original Yankee, but nine of 10, three more than any other team in baseball. They are right now absolutely reliant
homegrown.
On original homegrown players.
And they're not doing very well either. So what's that tell you?
Well, one of the guys they traded away was an original homegrown guy. So So that changed a little bit. They did lose one of those when Benintendi was traded. He would have been somebody else. But
homegrown and not doing well. We're going to be positive, Curtis. We said this earlier. They got a bunch of young guys on their team now. We're going to watch this last couple of months of baseball and see if they win some games. Hey, I want to thank you and Adam both for helping me get through this week, hosting the show for Surin.
Been fun.
Thanks so much to all of our guests today. David Leske, Danny Was Unleashed, Adam Teicher, and everyone on the drill. Enjoy your Friday night, Kansas City. Talk to you soon.